Okay, Martin DeForest. Next is the Venerable Solanus Casey, a little bit more contemporary, lived from 1870 to 1957. He was a Franciscan, it's hard to document how many miracles were worked through this man, but I mean, I'm telling you, there was thousands and thousands of miracles. Unfortunately for us, he kept a ledger of a lot of them. He grew up in a time in which he saw, for example, he grew up in an atmosphere which there was a lot of drunken people, in his family. He saw a young woman raped and then stabbed repeatedly. And Solanus grew up with a heart for the evil that afflicted people's lives. He saw the burden of evil that just was tremendously, people were caught up in, and his desire was to help people and to free them. As a young man, he ran across one situation with a sailor returning from his sea, found this young woman, raped her, stabbed her, basically left her to die. And I think eventually she did die. And what he did was he prayed for the man and prayed for his conversion. And within a rather short period, within a month's time, the man turned around and had a dramatic conversion. So much so that he just divested his life of his ways of evil. And he then, Solanus felt the call then to enter into the seminary, and he entered into the Diocese of Milwaukee, where he was a terrible student. The seminary professors wanted to fail him and not at all move him on to ordination. But fortunately, he had a seminarian director there who saw what he could become. You might say a word of prophecy was spoken over him, and a discerning of spirits regarding Solanus. And this is what this one seminary director said about Father Solanus. He said, as a student, he fails miserably. As a priest, he will be to people something like the cure to Arras. If you know anything about the cure to Arras, it was he's a poor student himself, but in 19th century France, he literally caused a spiritual revival throughout his entire region. So what happened was he went on to be ordained. The first 15 years of his ordination and priesthood, he was a Franciscan friar, was in Yonkers and in Manhattan. In 1921, he was assigned to Our Lady of the Angels in Harlem, where at that time was a middle-class white community. He was responsible for getting people to enroll in what was called a Mass of Angels. And it was an intercessory Mass. In other words, they would pray for the needs of people. So he was responsible for getting people to sign up for all these. And so he did. He got all kinds of people to sign up. The thing is that he would intercede through the Mass for them. And all these reports start to come back of physical and spiritual healings. People were healed of all sorts of ailments. Pneumonia, heart disease, memory loss, insanity, lameness, cataracts, polio, alcoholism, gangrene, blindness, and they were just a few to name. Okay, this was through the Mass of Intercession. As he was praying this Mass, all of these miracles would take place as people reported back what had happened when they signed their names up on these rolls, right? As a result of that, one of his spiritual directors in the friars in 1923 said, keep a record of your miracles, he said. Let me give you an example of one of them. A guy by the name of William had long contemplated suicide. As a result, he had suffered much, even concocted a plan to take his own life. He was traveling on a boat from Detroit to Cleveland, and as a result, he thought, I'm going to throw myself overboard. Nobody's going to miss me if I do that, right? Two sisters of his got wind of his decision. They kept a close watch on him, they were so fearful for their brother that as a result, they didn't know what to do except to intercede. They had put his name on that Mass that they were interceding for. What happened was Solanus interceded for the man, William, and as a result, his spirit of death that was really much a part of his life was lifted off him, and he miraculously changed almost within a period of a couple days. It's almost like that boat trip ended up being his life-changing event for his life. As a result, he was released from the hopelessness, and he made plans to go back to work, you know, and he was fine ever since. Another example was an eight-month-old infant was afflicted in both ears with a serious infection, and it was kind of a life-threatening infection. One day, the fever in the baby reached to a fever pitched, I mean, it was really high while the child was in the hospital. The mother was so crazed with fear, she just knew they were planning on doing an operation, but she had no really hope the operation would work. Well, she smuggled the child out of the hospital, okay, and brought him to Solanus. And, you know, she just begged him to really pray for his child. The priest stood there, extended his hands, his arms, to receive the infant, and said to the mother this, that don't worry, stop sobbing, he said. He was trying to comfort her. He said, your child will be healed. Now, this was what's called a prayer of pronouncement, that is, pronouncing healing over that child. The mother, after some convincing, she took the child back. He said to her, the child will be better in the morning, and so don't worry. You can get a good night's sleep. You won't even need the operation. So the next morning, what happened was the mother placed the child in the crib in the hospital. She touched the child and felt the child really cold, like the child was sort of dead, but she noticed there was some breathing. A few hours later, the child woke up and the fever was completely gone, and so was the infection in the ears. An example of that. By the hundreds, the suffering came to St. Bonaventure, which is the parish where he was, and they unloaded their burdens to Solanus. And some of them sought direction, counsel, wisdom. Many of them sought relief from failures at work, from failures in their relationships. They came seeking healing for their bodies. They came seeking healing for their souls. And what happened was, as he prayed for them and enrolled them in this intercessory mass, that he was this mass of the angels, as it was, he would work 12-hour days hearing these people, praying over them, right, and ministering to them. And as a result, there were thousands of cures and miracles and life-changing situations that ended up on his ledgers that he kept for us. Now, what do we see in this intercessory prayer? How powerful it is when we pray with expectancy. He joined his intercessory prayer to the Mass. How powerful that was in praying for specific situations. Also, the love he had for people and welcoming and receiving people, the compassion he had for people suffering, you know. And thirdly, his conviction that as he prayed and ministered, God would act, God would heal, God would intervene supernaturally in the lives of people. Now, this is not beyond any of us, right? These things are basic, simple nuts and bolts of Catholic living, right? Intercessory prayer is a spiritual work of mercy that we're all called to do. You know, all of us can have compassion and love. And if we don't have enough, we can say, Lord, pour more compassion in my heart. Just release it from the Holy Spirit who lives in me. Okay, Catherine of Siena. I'm going to emphasize here, many of us know a lot about Catherine of Siena, but I just want to highlight one story from her life here. And that is, there was a disease that struck a good friend of hers. Matteo was his name. And she was, he was in the hospital, and he was just suffering. And again, hospitals were not the bargain deals in those days, as you can imagine, you know. So she was hot with anger towards the plague that was afflicting her friend, her dear friend. And so before she reached his bed, she walked through the hospital, and she yelled at the top of her lungs as she's coming down the hall, "Get up, Matteo, get up. It's not time for you lying on a soft bed." And so at the sound of her voice, he got up. The swelling, the pain, all disappeared. Now, I want to put a couple things about this that's helpful. She had a tremendous hatred to the disease that was afflicting her dear friend. She was no friend of disease. Okay, she didn't see it as anything worthwhile to the person's life. She saw it as destroying her friend's life. And she had a tremendous confidence in the Lord's desire to heal her friend. So much so that with her anger, and that anger flowed out of a love for her friend, a compassion for her friend, and a confidence in Jesus to vanquish this disease. Another example was that Raymond, who was her spiritual director, said to her about, this is regarding Matteo, this is before she went to the, she had been to the hospital, he was healed, he was raised up. Raymond didn't know this yet, and Raymond said to her, he said to her, you know, you need to go to the hospital and pray for your friend, he'll recover. And Catherine said, do you think I'm God? I can deliver someone from death? Now, she was just playing with him, okay, at this point. And Raymond said to her, don't give me that. I know that Jesus does whatever you ask him to do. And Catherine said, kind of a mischievous way, cheer up, she said. He won't die this time. So, and my point in telling this story is that look at the confidence that she had in Jesus' desire to heal. And look at Raymond's understanding of her as a vessel of this compassion and the Lord's power to heal. Okay, again, that's not beyond any of us. Another example from Catherine is that there was a woman in her nearby town there, neighborhood actually, a balcony collapsed. It fell on this woman and really crushed her and left her with tremendous injuries in her back and hip and so on. Catherine visited her injured friend and tried to comfort her. And in a smoothing gesture, she touched the woman and the pain immediately left where it was in her back area and her hip. The woman begged Catherine to touch another place that hurt. And as she does, she got better. And then there was another place. She said, don't, you know, just keep touching this area and this area. And so as each time Catherine touched her and prayed in the name of Jesus, the woman got well and she recovered completely. Okay, that's just a couple examples from the saints. And what I want to emphasize to you with this is the tremendous, again, before we see some modern day stories here, the tremendous compassion they had for people, the confidence that Jesus wanted to heal people that were broken and sick and hurting, and their willingness to step out and to minister to people, pray with them, knowing full well that heaven wanted to break in to hurting people's lives and supernaturally restore them. What I'm trying to say to you is that rather than see the saints as extraordinary, see them as ordinary people that God does extraordinary things with, okay, because they were vessels of this tremendous compassion that the Lord had for broken, sick, and hurting and suffering people. And that is for all of us. And we're going to see some stories in just a moment here of modern day examples of this.